Welcome to the School of the Word. This is lesson 27 in our teaching series, The Third Side in the Clash of Three Kingdoms, titled Preserving Truth by Being Determined. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
It's a clash of two kingdoms, of course, but as this, wrapping this up, declaring the will of God by being determined. And that is to create a place in us that's determined that we will declare the will of God. And in this time, you know, it's amazing how you can get prepared to serve God and do the will of God, and you make up your mind and we move with it. And it would be great if it happened the next day. But doing, being determined to do the will of God is something that happens every day. It's an ongoing thing that we have to continue to sign up for every day. And so just two slides here to get us back on track. Conformed is two paths in life. I call one of the paths the will of God, which is uphill. Downhill path we'll call our own path. To be transformed and to follow God, it's like climbing a mountain. It's hard. It is hard. Can somebody say amen? It totally goes against our flesh to follow the will of God. Now, it just so happens it's very beneficial. It's just like working out in a gym or whatever. It's hard work to get your body in better shape, but it's hard work to get your spirit in better shape also. It takes an investment of who we are. So this whole idea of the clash of the two kingdoms is built around being conformed or transformed. And then it's in Romans 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, I do not understand all that it means to be transformed. I understand the word, a process, but I am, at 68 years old, I'm constantly learning transformation. What does it mean to be transformed? And it's just like with any physical illness. It is, I've been told that I had tumors several times, and you prepare yourself to hear the bad information or the good information, whichever is coming, and you're always preparing, of course, for the bad. So you say, okay, I'm a man who trusts God. Well, when you're sitting there waiting on that information, you'll find out how much you trust God. And all of a sudden, your theology is all reduced down to, oh, God. That's it. You're not pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib. You could care less what the trib is. It's just, oh, God, I need you in this moment. And so being transformed, and so I am constantly... God is testing me for my own transformation. How far have I gone? And each time when I get a correction, I'm not as far as I thought, but I'm just as determined because there's a reason. God is so honest with us. If we can hear His honesty, His honesty gives me great hope because God is so honest that He gives me a great hope. And so... But it's also, for some reason, there's an echo in my spirit that God constantly is saying to me, everything's going to be all right. It's that constant echo of the spirit that everything's going to be all right, no matter what the moment of crisis is. So, as we're trying to see what this perfect will of God is and our minds being renewed, we went into salt and light in Matthew 5:13. I'm not going to read this whole verse. We did it last week. As he says, you're the salt of the earth. And then he goes down to verse 14, you are the light of the world. So we've been going into salt and light. And what does that mean? What is light meant to be? Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall what? Have the light of life. Now, he didn't say that I get the light of life one day, and then I've got it the rest of my life. That's not the equation here. The equation is to those that follow Him. And that is a daily occurrence. It's a daily, that's the reason I say every day we get up, we've got this decision to make in following Christ. And a pastor's been preaching on believing in God and have the faith of God. Believing in God, I do every morning. But having the faith, I have faith in God, but do I have the faith of God? I mean, that is a whole nother day that we're trying to discover and we're trying to walk in. But one of the first things is those that follow after Him. We must follow Him. Now, what is this action of light? You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Last week, we saw how we're to be set on a lampstand, which means we're to be out there. We're to be out there in the world. We saw with salt, with the salt and light issue, when we're the salt of the earth, we're broadcasted among the earth. We're scattered among the earth. And it's through that that there's a preservation. Can somebody tell me what bridge that is? Grandfather Mountain. I knew Trevor would know that. I should have said, does anybody know this bridge except Trevor? This is Grandfather Mountain, and it's called a Mile High Bridge, right? It's called a Mile High Bridge. Has anybody walked across that, been there? Oh, about everybody in here. Now, right before you start to walk on that bridge, do you have second thoughts? I mean, you look down, pretty good drop. And so it all of a sudden, something has to start developing within you, and you've got to decide if you trust that bridge or not. It's a trust factor here. It's not that you're real smart or not. Can you hear me? It has nothing to do with how smart you were or are. If it did have something to do with that, you wouldn't be up there to start with. So this gets turned into a trust factor about trusting that bridge. So to get to the other side requires trust. And that will get you from point A to point B. Now listen, that's the Christian life. It's not about how smart we are. It's how much trust. And it is willing to trust, but I am discovering it's me understanding what trust means. I'm getting greater definition as I get older of what does it really mean to trust God. And I can say that I trust God, but it takes a certain amount of trust in that bridge to get to the other side. Now, the Holy Spirit transforms us. So we're trying to dissect and look into this concept of being transformed. Now, trust, there's a reward. I said it like this. There's the reward of trusting God. So trust is the issue of life. Trust is the issue to go from one end of that bridge to the other. Life constantly is dealing us a hand of bridges. If we've got to go across, and we have to decide if we trust it or not. But there is a reward, please hear me, there's a reward to trusting God. To trust is the act of being changed. In transformation, how are we transformed? The way we are, if you're on one end of that bridge and you trust it and you walk to the other end of that bridge and you're still alive, you will have a feeling come over you that you've accomplished something good. Right? All of a sudden, something changed. And so what happened was you were transformed inside. And so God, we find ourselves daily in these situations of if we're going to trust God or not, how much we're going to trust God. And then we find out by the act of trusting, we are being changed. So trust is the element of transformation. Can you hear that? Can you consider that? Trust is the element of transformation. Now, trust is, you know, you start dissecting trust. I mean, trust means you're getting ready to do something that you didn't come up with. Trust means you're not in a control of something you're fixing to do. You've just lost control. You have to trust. So trust, true trust, is abandoning my own reliability. Now, just think of that. If we're going to be transformed or not, the greatest element of transformation is trust. The Holy Spirit transforms us into salt and to light. There, I'll put that in there. I'm hoping a little light bulb will go off here. I'll put my little light bulb up there for a while. Light has the ability to expose and do what? Forgive. Now, it's important, according to Scripture, we'll put some together, that we realize and understand that those two words go together. Expose and forgive. Now, as believers, we always have a, that's a dual purpose, expose and forgive. As the body of Christ and as the children of God, we are in the restoration business. Our whole goal is to restore that's broken. That's our whole motive. Even though we can find ourselves in judgment, that we just like to be in the exposing business, right? But the truth is, things are being exposed so we can walk in the forgiveness. Now, we see here in 1 John, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. So there comes the exposure in John 20. And when He had said this, He breathed on them. And what happened? And said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit or forgive, they are remitted unto them, and whoever sins you retain, they are retained. Now, think about that. Let's just all take a think. Here we see that it is new information here. It says you have the ability to forgive sins. I know that. We're not Jesus. I get it. But this is the Word, which is Jesus. And so Jesus, is He wanting us to raise the dead and heal the sick and cleanse and mend the broken heart? He's wanting us to do all those things, but He's also wanting us to forgive sins. Now, this one's not spoken on very much. But He's also wanting us to, now test what I say. I'm not pulling a Medea here, I promise. Test it. He has called us to forgive sins. Now, if somebody has wronged you or there's something, what is the act of forgiveness? It's the forgiving of sins. That's what forgiveness is. When Jesus forgives us, He forgives us. You got to finish the sentence. He forgives us of our sin. So when we are forgiving anybody, we're doing this verse. We're in the act of forgiveness. And so we see it. Now, you understand something. They were full of the Holy Ghost, and then they forgave them. Then there's forgiveness. So if we're struggling, and when I'm struggling with forgiveness, for me personally, in an honest confession, is I know I'm running low on my relationship with the Holy Spirit. Can anybody hear that? Because when I am up to date, my relationship, and I'm really clicking with the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you what's the truth. I have no problem with forgiving sin. Right? With our country, there's people done some incredible things against our country. But I am willing to forgive that it might be restored, right? And somewhere or another, the forgiveness needs to be the trump card. Now, The Holy Spirit indwells a believer and enables him to bear certain fruit. Now, this is how do we know that we're operating with the Holy Spirit? Now, there again, we're in a battle here. Our weapons of warfare, they're not carnal. It's the ways of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwells the believers and enables him to bear certain fruit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the attributes of... Now, that's what we have if we've been filled with the Spirit. Now, these are the attributes of someone that carries salt and light, as opposed to Paul's list of sins in 2 Timothy. So we're wanting to do a comparison here. This is, you know, I have no trouble with identifying. I say, yeah, that's me. I've got all of that. But what about this one? This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetousness, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, despiser of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. No, that one's not me. But there is a comparison. And if I was honest with you, I would say I hope I identify more with the first set and not the second set. So here we go. Now here's the problem with those two sets of people's behavior. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. And so when I'm not walking in the first set, the first fruit, and I'm having a problem getting it in the Spirit, it's because I'm operating in my natural mind. That's what it means. That means I am operating in my natural mind. So we're hoping and praying that we come out of our natural mind into our spiritual nature. Now, I ask this question: why would you go to someone for the will of God that does not know God or His will? In other words, I've raised this question that continually, that our relationship with the Holy Spirit, I believe, must grow, is there's not much truth out there. I just don't trust much of anything. Do you? I mean, what we see on the news or on even the internet or whatever, I'm not trusting very much there. So my relationship with the Holy Spirit is the one I'm running after at present. We are to be by becoming. I've went over this a little bit. So we will see the will of God for ourselves. We are to be, in other words, we want to have faith in God, but we want to have the faith of God. And this relationship that we have between us and God, and we're here today, our hope and our prayer is that it is growing. The reason we come here is so we can get information to grow. Every believer, I'm going to say this, every believer, I believe, should become a seer. As we are filled more with the characteristics of the Holy Spirit, as we have the fruits of the Spirit, it causes us to see. You say, well, you're a prophet, or can you see, or whatever. Well, it's... seeing is a side effect of the fruits of the Spirit. If you have the side effects of the other one there in Timothy, of the natural mind, then guess what you're going to see? I mean, a lot of people today are I know there's a lot of bad stuff going on, and I'll be the first to admit it and say it. But to say what's going on... A seer is a person who says what God's doing behind the scenes on behalf of what's going on. Are you with me? And I, as much as anybody else, I mean, I fail at that. I know how it works. But yet we are to proclaim what God's doing behind the scenes. Now, what is that? That's proclaiming the will of God. That's what prophets do. Prophets stand up and should be saying, this is the will of God. And by saying, this is the will of God, then the will of God has been declared to the earth. A seer is one that hangs out with God and sees things from God's point of view. So if we're in this battle, if we're in this clash, do I think that a prophetic people is a people of action. Can you hear me? A prophetic people is a people of action. How many people are in here that you would call yourself kind of your main thing as an intercessor? Would you just kind of raise your hands if you see your main goal or your main call as an intercessor? I can't distinguish the difference between an intercessor and a prophet. Now, a lot of times as intercessors, we pray. But I want you to consider this. A true intercessor is also a true prophet. And the reason is they're communing with God. They're talking with God. They're carrying on dialogue with God. They're seeing what's happening, and they're praying about it. Now, I want to go on with that one just a little more. The seer has sight and insight. A seer is one who sees with spiritual eyes. A seer perceives where to apply salt and light. Therefore, he is an interpreter and clarifier of eternal truth. In Hebrews, the word there in Hebrew is to see, to look, observe, gaze, by extension, to choose to have visions, to prophesy. And it gives another explanation here. The seer must live, now think about this, must live and conduct himself as to be in tune or harmony with the divine spirit of revelation, thus becoming salt and light to a lost world. Now, if you can imagine, the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to the earth like a global CNN, or to you that just got offended, is a global Fox network. And anyway, there's information coming to the earth. And the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to the earth. And that's what causes us to keep breathing. It's what holds the earth here. It's what holds gravity. Just by God and His Holy Spirit speaking to the earth, and it's out here, and it's to the earth. You can plug into it in Africa or in North Carolina. No matter where you are, you can speak into this network of the Holy Spirit of God speaking to the earth. And so as we see that, as we are in tune and harmony with the divine spirit of revelation, that's the reason, have you ever said, well, you know, this preacher's preaching on this. Now, well, yeah, my preacher was preaching on. Well, yeah, my preacher. And this incident, and you're like, in 2 or 3 weeks, you hear the same. Well, what's the deal? They're plugging into this universal spirit of God holding this earth together. And that is a true spiritual phenomena of being able to be in relationship with God. It's not that you heard something special. It's that we're all in harmony and hearing about the same thing. Are you with me? So we start looking at that, and we have today, you know, people want to say, well, God told me this and hadn't told anybody else on the planet. I understand what you're saying, but I don't know if I like the outcome. Now, the seer. A seer is a person who sees. In the Bible, a seer is another name for a prophet, and it was here in 1 Samuel. I just wanted to show you. Before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, thus he spake, come and let us go to the seer. For he that is now called a prophet before was called a seer. And that's according to 1 Samuel. So when you see the term seer and you see the term prophet, it was the same thing. Now, you've heard me speak about this before, and I'm putting this in there because I'm trying to come to a conclusion today. Future telling or future seeing. Now, you've heard me teach on that as a prophetic people. Or some say it like this. You can have forthtelling or foretelling. Future telling has a conclusion. Now, this is for those who predict future. And listen, as a prophetic people, we've got to get this down. We've got to get it. We just got to get it. Why are we wanting we can see the trend of where something's headed in the future. You don't have to be too bright to see a trend. And that's what we see. To see a trend is not prophetic seeing. We can see a trend. The trick is, okay, God, I see the trend where the world's going, where our country's going, where this person's going in their life. I can see where they're headed. And what I want to see in that particular life or our country, there's two paths. So one's our own way and the other one's the will of God. And so in prophesying in this big confrontation, what we're looking for and what God's looking for are those that will prophesy His will about where we're headed. Not to bring a conclusion. Now, you got to fight the conclusion. If you see somebody on drugs, alcohol, or whatever, don't say to them, if you don't quit this, you're going to die. Well, I mean, that's the trend. That's the way of the mind, the human mind. You look at that same person and say, turn to God and live. Turn to God and live. You're not going to scare them out of dying. You call them into living. And that's the reason I'm saying, as a prophetic people, our excitement for restitution is not high enough. Our excitement for salvations as a church, if we want revival at this church, it will only come through salvations. It's that we give the gospel to the world. And it's through the outpouring of the gospel that revival comes. Now, future telling has a conclusion, a form of judgment. If you don't quit that, you're going to die. It's a form of I'm pronouncing its end. I want to pronounce its life. I haven't been given permission to say you're going to die. You say, well, Alan, it's obvious. I don't care. I don't have permission to say that. Are you with me? Because that's bringing a conclusion. Have you ever had somebody you just gave up on? That's called a conclusion. We don't have permission, no matter how we feel. We don't have that permission. It's a type of judgment, what I'm wanting us to see. We're bringing a conclusion, a futuristic conclusion. Future telling has a conclusion. Future seeing never has a conclusion. For future seeing is declaring the will of God while on the path of being salt and light. So, I know this might sound a little elementary to us, but the reason I'm trying to put words to it is because we do it every day. We're not quite getting it. I'm not being transformed. The transformation, I'm running behind on my transformation. Judgment is a form of seeing gone bad. If you don't quit this, you're going to die. Well, whoa, back up, rewind. All right, you're seeing what could be his conclusion. But it's in light of that conclusion, you're wanting to turn it around. So we, in turn, speak life. If I say, if you don't quit it, you're going to die, I'm trying to use soulish thinking in persuading the person through fear, sounds like God, doesn't it? Through fear to turn from their wicked ways. You see, it's the goodness of God that causes us to turn, believe it or not. It's the goodness of God is the reason we're all here, even though we want to, for some reason, we won't be everybody's parent or something. I don't know. And that won't work. If a person's in trouble, the first set didn't work. Why in the world do you think a second set's going to work? That wasn't the spirit. That was Paul. Okay. You are bringing conclusion to someone that's on a path. You cannot be salt and light and be a judge at the same time. That's the point. Now let me move on. The issue is declaring the will of God. Declaring the will of God is an act of salt and light. Now in Matthew 16, I'm going to give you an example. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That's declaring something. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So where is my focal point? Where is the conversation, my internal conversation? Where is my thinking? I see the person drugs alcohol. I'm thinking, oh, I can see down the end of this path is death. But what I'm looking for is thy kingdom come, thy will be done in this person on earth as it is in heaven. Now, that's a supernatural act that can actually penetrate that person's heart. It can really do it. We've just got to quit trying to persuade people. You don't persuade people out of sin. We're convicted out of sin. And that's an operation of the Holy Spirit. It's not done by me beating you with a stick. Are you convicted yet? Are you convicted yet? Are you convicted yet? That's not what's going on. Ephesians 5:17. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. That's what we declare. Now, the path of God is long and hard, you've heard me say. Endurance is required, for there will be suffering. Wonderful place to say glory, hallelujah. There will be suffering. It's endurance. I mean, you cannot talk somebody into this life of being a Christian. You can't. Come to Christ and die, right? I can't give away Cadillacs. It's not the way I read it. Hebrews 10:36, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. So there's a promise at the end of endurance. Hebrews 13, now may the God of peace, who brought again the dead of our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do what? His will. Can we do His will? The answer is yes. Alan Smith can do the will of God. Now, the two sides are accelerating. I touched on this just a moment earlier in the teaching. I want to try to go into it just a little bit more. Futures has two paths, and they are accelerating. When we see future, it is a question at best. Both paths, now watch this one. Both paths, either your path or God's path, both paths have a destructive element. The road sign on one path says my path. The other one says God's path. Now here's what I want you to consider. Both paths, whether it be your own path or God's path, both of them have a destructive element. It's not like you leave one and another one's better as far as the destructive experience goes. Transformation occurs as we walk the path of God into our futures. Our lives will be part constructive and part destructive in nature as we die to self and let Christ live through us. And I hesitated to even bring this up, but I like to be very honest. It almost sounds like I'm more pessimistic than I am optimistic. But I want to be just truthful as I know how. Part of it's constructive, part of it's destructive. Here's God's path. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. That's what happens when we're walking God's path. Now, here's another verse in Proverbs I want to give you. Many are the plans of the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. You see that? Now, one's my path. Many are the plans in the mind of man. Anybody got that one? Now, here's God's path. But it is the purpose of the Lord that will do what? Stand. What he's saying is, my ways are going to die out anyway. If I want my way, it's limited. But God's ways are eternal. So what's happening is he's asking us, do you not want to make the investment on the eternal side, and not the side that's not going to last long anyway? So as far as an investment's concerned, Now in Isaiah, you know the scripture well, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. His thoughts and our thoughts are not the same thing. Now here we go. This is the word. Acceleration is a spiritual marker at the time of the end of the age. Can you see that? Now it's a spiritual marker. Things accelerate. They don't slow down. They speed up. Knowledge shall accelerate at the time of the end, it says in Daniel. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and what happens? Knowledge shall increase. There's no doubt in our minds that we're at that place of Daniel. Now, I want to do this one in Amos, and I've touched on it. I'm going to go a little further. Time in the spiritual realm is moving faster than ever before. Here's Amos 9:13. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper and the treader of grapes, him that soweth seed, and the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. Now that was Amos. What was happening there? He's saying that you're going to plant and harvest in the same field the same day. That's acceleration. So what we're seeing before us is things are accelerating. So it tells us what time of day it is or what time it is. So we see this verse here. Typically, the plowman would have to wait 7 or 8 months before harvest. This is the typical. That's what I do. Plant corn, getting ready to harvest corn next month, 7 months. And so here we go. But Amos said, the day is coming when it will happen simultaneously. As soon as you sow the seed, the harvest will begin to spring forth. Can you see that? Now, darkness is speeding up too. But it's trying, you got to understand something. God's declaring acceleration. The enemy has to now accelerate, you know, hear my words, to keep up with us. We're not supposed to be running behind him. He's supposed to be running behind us. That means we're running so fast, he has to smell our smoke. When you break the sound barrier, that's running pretty fast. But do you know what that means? You leave all the sound behind. You are even ahead of your own sound. That's acceleration. So when we're all with this and this and this and that and then with this and then they doing that over we're supposed to be ahead of is not supposed to mean anything to the people of God except hey, it's getting close on our hinder parts. We need to speed up. And that means speeding up, running with God. Perhaps we'll deal with the devil when we run out of running for God. So it's a concept, a spiritual concept in this of Amos. Now, I believe we are living in the day Amos talked about. The harvest is chasing the plowman down. I feel it. I can just feel it. You sow and reap in the same day. In other words, we're not going to say you got saved, born again, now you go to school for 2 years, and we'll allow you to pray for the sick. Nope, get saved one day, you're going to pray for the sick the same day. Anybody go for that? It's acceleration time. We got to move. It's not going to be the usual process. God is speeding things up. I got to finish this one. God is in the acceleration business in John. Jesus turned water into wine. You all know the story, right? Normally it takes 2 to 4 years. Jesus accelerated the process. If he can do it with water, he can do it with you and me. See, when Jesus turned the water into wine, he was showing us when we're moving in the power of the Spirit that things are to accelerate. They'll move quicker. Now, you got to understand something. To be able to accelerate with God, your gas is your faith. If you're going to keep mashing on the gas and going faster, it's going to take more faith. So, therefore, we're going to have more struggles to create a decision of receiving more faith. So we can do this, and he can do it with you and with me. There is a time that the Lord will do a short work, time will speed up. And it's in Romans. Paul said this, "For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because the Lord will make a short work upon the earth." Can you see that? He says he's going to make a short, he's going to speed this thing up. He's going to make a short work. When you're walking on the path of God for your future, you will feel the acceleration in your life. God has healing and favor that defies the odds. Jeremiah 1:12, "I will hasten my word," he says, "to perform it." That means God will do it quicker, faster, and sooner than you think. Okay, church, there we go. Let's stand. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for this day that you have made, oh God. And I ask and pray, oh God, in the power and the name of Jesus, that Lord God, you would help us as a church to accelerate and to move with your Spirit. Dear God, it's my prayer that you won't constantly be waiting on us, but we will be running to catch up with you. Dear God, show us this supernatural warp speed that we must run with you. Help us to run to repentance. Help us to run to repentance. I pray that all of our convictions of your Spirit, that they would accelerate upon our hearts, that we might deal with things and get this show on the road. We ask and pray, oh God, I pray that you'll accelerate, that you'll totally accelerate the baptism of your Spirit upon us as a people, those that are watching online. I pray, oh God, that we would accelerate in repentance. We would accelerate in our worship, that we would accelerate in our love for one another. Dear God, in Jesus' name, forgive us and teach us to forgive others. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.